did, we'd be not only running around, we'd be outside running around each other.
Amen.
If we got the gist of what that song's talking about, let's think about one glad day he's going to make us. He's going to call us out of here, and all this mess that's going on, we'll never have to deal with it no more. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more troubles. It'll be a glorious day with the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, we ought to learn everything we can right here. And nobody, why, if we learn more, we'll be more excited.
Amen.
Are we excited this morning about this? He could come before we get out of here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Let's sing that verse again. The chorus of it. And let's sing it like we mean it.
Let's praise God.
Of love will soar away.
pray for us.
Many, many years ago, when I was out in sin, well, I had no one to share my load, no one who even cared. But I looked up towards the heavens, and his hands were open wide. He took and tossed my sins away. In me he now abides. 'Cause he climbed to the top of the mountain that day, and he laid upon the cross without a fight, they did say. I know that he loves me, 'cause not another man that day would have gave his life on Calvary the way Jesus did that day. Now there's nothing in this world that could even compare to the love, joy, and happiness that comes from up there. He'll give you peace within your soul, put a smile upon your face. He'll take you up to heaven with him some sweet day. 'Cause he climbed to the top of the mountain that day, and he laid upon the cross without a fight, they did say. I know that he loves me, 'cause not another man that day would have gave his life on Calvary the way Jesus did that day. Yes, I know that he loves me, 'cause not another man that day would have gave his life on Calvary the way Jesus did that day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Amen. Amen. We've got a lot to be excited, to be happy about. How many's happy? Smile at me. Amen. Ain't you glad this morning to be... You know, I'm so thankful that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. But also, I'm excited about if... Folks that maybe not be ready yet, still got the opportunity, still got the chance. God's still in the saving business. Aren't you glad of that? Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Well, I am. The Lord. He'll have a good lunch today. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's good to say. Good to say. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else have anything? That reminds me, Alfred Cutshaw used to say a lot of folks are like a hog under an acorn tree or under an oak tree eating acorns. Never look up, see where they come from. We just gobble up the blessings, but we never look up, see where they come from. Amen. Anyone else?
son, but when we had our Easter dinner, we sat in the living room at Joanne's, and Rhonda read the resurrection story, and then I prayed, and we went in to eat. We celebrating Rachel, Maverick's birthday, and she got the first plate and sat down at the table, and she said, "We need to pray." And he said, "Well, we've already prayed. Tim's already prayed." And she said, "He's done so much for me, it's the least I could do. I'm going to pray again." Praise the Lord. We prayed again. Anyone else? If you have your Bibles in, turn. We're back in the book of Acts. Rhonda and I signed up. She did it, I don't know, several months ago. And for us to go to a pastor's conference over at the Cove, and that's where we was Tuesday and Wednesday. And heard the speaker, Jim Cimbala, and I'd never wasn't real familiar with the name. I knew of it, but he's the pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and his study was in the book of Acts. And boy, what a blessing that it was, and what an encouragement to us and to be in that. But I'm thinking, and then of course back in the book of Acts today, but if you want to turn around to chapter 20. Paul is now way deep in his third missionary journey heading home. And he has been in Macedonia, up modern-day Greece, coming around to Turkey. And he is now going to bypass Ephesus and going to land at Miletus. And he's going to go there and meet with the elders of the Ephesian church. He's going to buy for time's sake and the weather and different things, according to the way you read. He's going to bypass, and he's meeting with the elders of the church of Ephesus. And that's where we are right now, that he has now come and meeting with these. But I want to share verse 25. I'll read this. We'll refer to a lot more during the message or some more. But in stay close to Mike. And he is now talking to them, and in verse 25, if you would stand with me, he said, Now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Want to focus on those words, shall see my face no more. Now, this is a church Paul planted. It's a church that loved Paul. This is a just like us, just a family. They all loved him. Some wanted to kill him, but most loved him in the church. And he has now come through, and he said, you'll never get to see me again. When I leave this time, that's it. And that just stirred my heart, and I titled this message, If We Never Meet Again. If We Never Meet Again. I want to get your minds a-thinking that we lost a dear friend of this church, just a year and so many months older than me, just here recently, Brother Tony. We've lost a lot of folks, and boy, and I don't mean only that. I just mean we have got to be ready to go when we go. And what was it when the prophet came to Hezekiah and he told him, he said, set things in order. That you're going to die. You're going to be sick, and this is going to be, you're going away, and you need to set things in order. And today, and the Lord has just stirred my heart as if we never meet again. I want you mind thinking on that. And age don't matter. It don't matter how young you are. It don't matter how old you are. And I want us to think on this today, and three things that the Lord showed, stirred my heart of on these. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your many wonderful blessings of life. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you called and tugged upon my heart. I'm so thankful I answered that call. I'm so thankful I called upon your name and received you as my Savior. Father, I'm thankful that I've been somewhat obedient to you through the years. I could have been more, I know. But I appreciate you and love you and thank you what you've done in my life. Thank you for my beautiful wife and her families. Thank you for the wonderful church that you have placed us in. Lord, we're just so thankful to be part of the number as the chosen that will spend eternity in heaven with you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was thinking on this, and like I said, the Lord just really got a hold of me and stirred my heart. Thank you, Brother Ray. And in verse 26, and the Bible said, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." See, Paul was now wanting to be sure everything was in order. He was wanting to, and I just want to get you thinking a minute, kind of like if it's someone that you knew that this was the last time you'd ever get to talk to that person. What would you say to them? What would you say to your family? What would you say to your friends? What would you say to your neighbors and that co-worker that you just think the world of, you eat dinner two times a week with, or maybe more than that? Or some of them folks that you've loved near and dear, and this was the last time that you'd ever get to talk to them. And that's what Paul was doing. And he said, went back and he said, I will tell you right now that I'm not guilty of anybody's blood. I'm not guilty. I have preached you the whole counsel of God, whether it was good, you liked it, or whether you didn't like it, whether it convicted you, or whether it uplifted you and edified you. I preached to you the truth. I just preached right down the line. And he said, I am guilty of no man's blood. See, this is an important saying, to be able to say, I am guilty of no man's blood. Because with me, I'm going to stand before God one day. There was a young boy bale hay right behind my yard, my house, one night, one evening. He was 13 years old. And never will forget, he come out of that field on that big green tractor. And he was getting ready to go home, meet his grandparents, and was going up to Mountain City for the weekend riding four-wheelers. When he pulled out and he stopped and I stood there and talked to him a minute, the Lord said, talk to him about his soul. And I said, Lord, he's a good boy. He goes to church, and while he's young, he's in a hurry. And I turned around and let him leave. Less than 24 hours, I was down at Joanne's at the front porch, and she said, called this young man's name and said he got killed on a four-wheeler accident. I don't know, were he saved or the age accountability, I don't know. It may have been just to where I could be a help to the family. But I'll stand before God one day, and I'll have to give an account for that encounter. Paul said here in the book of Ephesus, or talking about the church of Ephesus, he said, I am guilty of no man's blood. I've done everything God's asked me to do.
I've preached the word. I've loved you. I've done everything that I can do. See, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and we'll give an account for everything He ever asked us to do. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. And I'll give an account. But Paul said, I'm free of anybody's blood. When God moves on your heart, folks, listen to me this morning. God moves on your heart for anything, it's serious business. It's serious business. Church is serious business. When we handle the things of God, when we stand and teach a Sunday school class, and if it's VBS, and it's these little children that we enjoy and fun and life and it going on, I tell you, it's serious business when we handle the things of God and the oracles of God and folks, because it lasts for eternity. The outcome is forever. And I'm afraid so often we take things light. And boy, this just last night and this morning as I was studying real early and I thought about this. And boy, the pressure on me when I get this pulpit, it's serious business. It's eternity at stake, folks. And I better be right. I better do it right. And I'd better be able to say like Paul said, and I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I better be able to stand before God and say, I preached it all. Some of it got me mean looks, Lord. But I still preached it. See, our neighbors and our families and our co-workers, can we say that when we stand before God, we've done everything in our power that He's asked us to do to witness and win those? See, it's a sobering thought this morning, isn't it? I mean, it's serious business. And when we stand before God and say, I place this little love, this little precious gift in your hands, and you failed. Wow. Because that little one, that co-worker, that neighbor, that loved one, that spouse, that child, whichever it is one day we'll never see them again on this side of heaven, on this side of eternity. You might say, preacher, you're getting awful serious this morning, huh? It's serious business. It's not just a church thing. It's not something we do a couple times a week. It's a call on our lives that God's placed upon us. You might say, well, you're the preacher. I'm the one that preaches, but I'm telling you, you're the one that takes it out. I can't witness at your workplace tomorrow. Never been there. Probably didn't where any of you work. But you can. I don't get to give those little grandchildren baths and dry their hair and tell them on my knee how much the Lord loves them. But I take advantage of the ones I get to. Praise the Lord. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible says, and it came to pass in the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. See, we as Christians have been set upon the wall. We're watchmen. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from the wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at your hand. When the watchmen of the cities would sit on the wall, and if they slumbered and slept and didn't see the enemy coming or seen some wild animals or something coming that was going to bring danger, and they failed to warn the people of the city, it cost them their lives. This is what the Lord is likening. He did the prophet, and it is us today. But he goes on to say that if you warn them and they die in their iniquity, our soul, the Bible says exactly, but thou hast delivered thy soul. We're not responsible of how they respond, but we are responsible that we tell them the truth. I seen a boy the other day I used to work with, hadn't seen him in years. And I just seen him for a few minutes. Right before I got ready to turn away and walk away from him, the Lord said, ask him about church. I was in a hurry, he's in a hurry. I said, you going to church? Well, I've been going here and such. And I said, that's important. You get in there. You better get a hold of it while you can. That was the only chance I got, but I got to get it in. I won't have to give an account for that because maybe I didn't do enough, but I stepped in. And when God lays on, see, what? Hey, you know how important it is when he really lays a burden on you. See, it's dangerous stuff. Then we go on to say, but let me read to you, Luke 7:30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized. That's no matter how some that you do, no matter what you do, there's some. It's not going to hear you. Not going to believe you. But we got to preach it anyway. Paul said, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Next thing I seen that he had no man's blood on his hand. The next thing is I seen he had no hard feelings. Verse 17 through 20 says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and way to the Jews, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Let's look at verse 37 and 38. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul's telling them, I've been straight with you. He wanted to be sure that he left them, and the last time he seen them, that they didn't have any hard feelings. He didn't want anything to stand when he stood before God that would jerk out at him and say, well, boy, what about this guy? What about that guy? What about when you was up here? And what about, he had it clear. He had a clean slate. I want to ask you this morning, what about you and what about me? Is there folks that we've got a hard feelings at? Is there folks that we're miffed at? Is there folks that we kind of step around and don't talk to? Is there folks that we kind of shun and avoid because of this and because of that? I tell you what, I don't want to stand before God with any ill feelings with anyone. I want a clean slate. And I've been blessed. Lord bless me that I don't hold hard feelings. I get mad as the devil sometimes, but I get over it. And I'm so glad that I can get over it. But I know folks that can't get over it. And they hold them feelings, and they hold it, and they hold it, and they let it fester up, and it gets so ugly. I tell you, Paul wanted to be sure there was nothing between him and anybody when he stand before God. He knew he was not going to see him again. When we leave out of here this morning, we ought to have everything just like that we'd never see each other again. I've been in services before, and thank everything. I guess the biggest one jumps out at me is Sister Joan. She sat right back here on a Wednesday night. She left here, and we talked and shook hands and everything like we always did. Before dinner on Thursday, she'd gone to be with the Lord. I had no idea that was the last time I'd ever talked to Sister Joan. Amen. Many of you was here that night. Had no idea. Boy, it's good. The Bible said take care of things quick, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and don't let these things hinder, because just like this, Paul said, I'm never going to see you again. What if it's one of us that never gets seen again? I don't want to stand before God and have to give an account. Galatians 5:22 said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the way that I want to be. And I want folks to remember me as being a kind-hearted, good old boy. Not that hateful old rascal that I couldn't stand. Now, some folks will feel that way, but I've tried. I remember, and this came to me, that when I wasn't living like I should, and there's a guy I used to run around with, and one night me and him was together, and he broke down. And just a few years before that, there was a couple younger folks got killed in a car wreck just up the road from my house. I remember coming by that night, ain't in church. And he's been real good friends with that guy that was driving that night. And they was on the outs. They had had an argument or something. And that was many years later. And he wasn't trying to live right. And he said he still, I bet you to this day, that nags him. Boy, I don't want something like that hanging on me. I don't want something like that hanging out there. And when I stand before God, and he'll say, well, what about? You proud to say, will you forgive me? Or you's too proud to say, I do forgive you. Or you were so proud you said, I forgive you, but boy, I'm not going to forget it. Amen. Now you just got quiet. I'm going to have to shake my handkerchief again. Amen. The Bible says we're to forgive as we've been forgiven. You remember the servant that he was forgiven, and he come before the Lord, and he said, Lord, there's no way I can pay all this money back. He said, throw him in jail. Throw his family in jail and let him rot in jail. And he said, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. And he said, your debt's been forgiven. Go on home. Whew, that's like us. We owed a debt that we couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. He wiped it slate clean. He said, you're forgiven. Heaven can be your home. Glory, hallelujah. And who am I not to forgive someone if they wrong me? That servant went right straight out, and somebody owed him just a fraction of what he had been forgiven. He took and beat him and had him thrown in jail. The Bible said, I've got it here, let me see exactly how it said, worded out. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Matthew 5:23 said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath an ought against thee, not that thou had an ought against thy brother had an ought against thee. Leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee the judge, and judge deliver thee the officers, and be cast into prison. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I owed so much and was forgiven of so much. Boy, I tell you what, it'd be bad if I can't forgive for just a little. I've offended God no telling how many thousand times. And he said, Tim, you're forgiven. Tim, you're forgiven. Tim, you're forgiven. And somebody offend me once and I can't forgive them. Boy, I tell you, I don't want to be in that shape when I stand before God. I believe he'll bring this parable, this story right here up. And say, look what I forgive you. He'd probably flash my life back. Look at this time. Look at that. Look at all these times I forgive you and you couldn't forgive him once. Boy, I'll tell you what, how, what are we going to say then? Oh. Wouldn't it be awful? Stand before God. Have an ill feeling. And see that person cast into hell. We wouldn't talk to them. Because they offended our ego. See, in this passage, the Lord's saying, don't get caught up on the outward physical looking of forgiveness and these things. It's the heart. It's in the heart. It's not how you act in front of people. It's how you act when nobody's around. It's how you act when you hear that name mentioned. It's the thoughts that come in your mind when someone's face comes. It's the thoughts and the intents of the heart and how we really feel about that person that God knows all about this morning. And then the third one. Paul had nothing between him and God. Verse 24. Boy, I tell you, this just moves my heart. It says, but none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Boy, I tell you what, we ought to be able to say that this morning. Paul said, I didn't even count my life dear. The most important thing in my life is carrying on the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, Jim Cimbala said something that really talking about the life of Paul. And he said, Paul didn't say, I've danced a good dance. He said, I've fought a good fight. That means it's going to be tough. That means it's going to be hardships. In 21, in chapter 21, verse 13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. There was nothing between Paul and the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Matthew 18:35 said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you if you hearts forgive not every one of these trespasses. Paul had a clean slate before God. His hands was cleaned. His heart was clean. He was in God's will. He followed God's will to the T. Everywhere he went, everything he did was all about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he'd done for him. He had the testimony of on the road to Damascus. He also said, I covered nobody's money. All of these, I've worked with my hands. I supplied for me and my families, or the people with me. We worked and made our own way. And he was clean. And he did all this for the Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing that Paul had to worry about was how he was going to stand with God. He said, I fought the fight. I finished my course. There's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt he had a clean shot at when his time come, whether Jesus came or whether he died or whatever it come about. He said, there's nothing between me and my God. My slate's clean. Everything's clean before us. My heart's pure. My hands are clean. I'm ready to serve the Lord. And I'm ready to die for him, he said. Wow. Praise the Lord. What an example that Paul gives us here in this, how to live. How to live. How to not having blood on our hands. Not being at odds with anyone. And then nothing between him and God. He lived a pure, clean life. What an example that he had. Isaiah 59:1 said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What about it this morning? Where do we stand with the Lord? Is the slate clean? Do we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing between us and God? See, if we're not careful, we'll let things slip in our lives. And you may say, preacher, I've been saved. Hebrews 6:4 says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again and to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, put him to an open shame. 2 Peter 2:20, 21, 22, 23, in that range, tell something similar. Say, be better to never know the way than to know it and turn away from it. It's serious business. It's not a marathon. I mean, it's not just a short race. It's a marathon. We read in Revelation last week, he that overcome, he that endureth, the same shall be saved. I don't know where you stand this morning with the Lord, but it's serious business. If you've never called upon him as your Savior, it's serious business to leave this life without a relationship. And if you have called, that's why backsliding is such serious business, is that there's a line that we can cross. If I understand the Scripture correctly, there's a line. I don't know where that line is. Only God knows where that line is. But there's a line we can cross. And when we cross it, you've gone too far. There's no coming back. according to the passages I read. And that's the way that I see it in the scripture. It's dangerous. It's dangerous if we ever let anything get between us and God. And as I close this morning, is our hands clean of blood? Are we doing everything that we can this morning in our lives to win folks and to witness and be what God wants us to be? What about our relationship with others? Can we say like Paul was, that didn't have any ill feelings and any hard feelings and everything? Or is there somebody we need to forgive? Or is there somebody we need to ask to forgive us? I went to a former pastor one time and I said, "Brother, I need to ask you to forgive me." And I was his deacon. He said, "What in heaven's for do I need to forgive you?" And he preached real hard and he had throat problems. And I'd said that he ought to back off of the preaching, ease up on it to save his throat so he could preach longer. I said, "I thought you had a control of it." After I answered the call to preach, I seen he didn't have control of that knob. And I said, "I want to forgive you." He said, "Oh, my goodness, don't really think nothing about that." But God put that in my heart, and I wanted to be clean with it. And I think we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Some folks may say, "Well, I don't think nothing of it." But if God touches your heart and says you need to, I had to go in one Monday morning and ask two or three folks to forgive me just because I had a bad attitude. I never done nothing to nobody, but I'd had a bad attitude Friday evening. God said, "Ministers of the gospel ain't supposed to have that kind of attitude. Now you go in Monday morning and get straightened out." I had to go in Monday morning and straighten it out. Now they all said, "I didn't think nothing about that." But God did. It's enough to Him. And then where are we spiritually this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You today. Lord, I'm so glad that we can call upon Your name. I'm so glad that You're the God that loves and the God that forgives. I'm so glad today, Father, that You have moved upon my heart, and You, time after time I've had to go and ask somebody to forgive me, that I would tell them I was sorry. Lord, I thank You for that. Thank You for good old Holy Ghost conviction. Lord, I pray that You'll send that among us this morning, Lord. And if any of us, God, that we need to take a step and do anything today, Lord, I pray that You'd free each up till we could make the move and come to an old-fashioned altar. Lord, ask You. Get things lined out. Or because we may never meet again. This may be it for some of us. Lord, I want to be clean. If it's me. Father, I pray that You would touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand.